أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد الصادق الوعد الأمين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، وصحابته الغر الميامين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين حق قدره ومقداره العظيم. Steward follows. My honored brothers and sisters in this great group Al-Irshadul Ummah, I welcome you all once more to our 13th class in the book Al-Hidayatul Mustafid fi Ahkam al-Tajweed. On this day being the 9th day of Ramadan, 1441 AH, which coincides with the 2nd day of May 2020, I welcome you all with the noblest of greetings, which is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Previously, we have talked about a whole lot on the issues of Tajweed, and now that we have been able to discuss the issues of Qalqala and also the pausing in the recitation, we are inshallah going to proceed now to the rules guarding the madda in the Tajweed, that is Al-Madud. So if you have the book, you can simply open up and join inshallah. You can open up to page number 15 on the book, where you see the new chapter, Fasli fi Ahkamil Mudud wa Aqsamiha. It's a chapter that talks about the rules of madda or elongations, wa aqsamiha, and its divisions, and it's the various types of elongations in the Holy Quran. Balam is asking us a question there. Ma haddul maddi lughatan wa istilahan. What is the definition of madda literally and technically? Amma lughatan, that's the answer. Malan says, as for its literal meaning, for huwa al-mattu, that means elongation. Waqila ziyadatu, and some people say it is increment or increasing. Wa amma istilahan, however, if you want to talk about it technically from the Tajweed point of view, عند القرآن, to the reciters, فهو إطالة, then it is يعني elongation. إطالة الصوت بحرف من حروف المد الآتي ذكرها. It is elongation of elongating the voice. Elongating the voice of the pronunciation of an alphabet. You elongate the way you pronounce an alphabet from any of the alphabets that fall under the madda category that will inshallah be listed or be presented as follows. Now the next question, Amalan says, ila kam qismin yanqasimul maddi, into how many divisions is madda divided? The answer is ila qismain. Madda is divided into two. That is al-asliyun or al-asliyin, which is the original madda, wal-fariqi, and the derived madda. And also you can call it al-asli, the primary madda, wa-fariqi, which is the secondary madda. So Malam is now asking now. He says the next question, ma huwa al-maddul asli? What is a primary madda? What is an original madda? هو المد الطبيعي الذي لا تقوم ذات حرف المد إلا به. Malam says it is a natural madda. المد الطبيعي. It is a natural madda. الذي لا تقوم ذات حرف. That حرف المد إلا به. That a letter. The letter that is elongated is what gives the word its meaning. Yani the word cannot have its meaning without it. So it is a compulsory matter, or you call it a natural matter, that comes together with the word. That it is because of the matter that is in that word that the word gets to have its meaning. And the word will not be able to retain its own meaning without that matter. So That is what is referred to as what? As al-maddul asli. Under it we have maddul tabi'i, which is the first maddul asli. Maddul asli refers to the what? To the original madda. From these or from other places as well, all that kind of madda are derived, which we call maddul far'i. However, for the maddul asli, the first one under it is what? Is al-maddul tabi'i. Yeah. So now we move on to the next question. Balan says, ما هي حروف المد? How many are these alphabets of mad that come inside the word and give the word its meaning? The answer here, Balan says, هي ثلاثة. They are what? ثلاثة. They are three in numbers. الواو ساكنة. It is the first one is a واو that has a سكون مذموم ما قبلها, that is preceded by something that has a دمّة. If an alphabet has a dhamma and immediately after it there is a wawun sakinun, then that wawun sakinun will serve as an ingredient for madda. Then the second thing is what? Al-ya usakinatu is a ya that has a sukun, al-maksuru ma qablaha, that what is before it is carrying a kisra. It's carrying a kisra. So if a word or an alphabet is carrying a kisra and just before it there is a ya usakin, then that ya usakin becomes a madda for that word. Then the third one is al-alifu sakinatu, is an alif that has a sukun, al-maftuhu ma qablaha, that is being preceded with an alphabet that has a fatha. So if an alphabet has a fatha and it is followed by an alif usakin, then it becomes a maddu tabi'i. Just in the same way, if an alphabet has a dhamma followed by wawu sakin, it becomes a maddu tabi'i. And if an alphabet has a kisra and is followed by ya usakin, it becomes also a maddu tabi'i. We'll be able to understand that properly as we move on, inshallah. So to the next question, Malam says, lima summiya tabi'iyan. So for what reason was it named as tabi'i? Why is it named as a natural madda? So Malam is giving us the answer. He said, لَأَنَّ صَاحِبَ الطَّبِيعِي أَوْ طَبِيعَةِ السَّلِيمَةٍ لَا يَنْقُصُهُ مِنْ حَدِّهِ وَلَا يَزِيدُ عَلَيْهِ. He said, it is because of the fact that any letter, any harf that has this madda, okay, any letter that has this madda, then that letter has it in its own self, and it is the madda is an intact madda that you cannot reduce it and you cannot increase it. The madda is just the way it is. You cannot over elongate it beyond its elongation, and you cannot shorten its elongation, because if you do either of that, you are going to have a change in meaning. So Ma'alam is giving us the next question. It says, Ma miqdaru maddihi? What is the extent of this madda? What is the limit of this madda? Miqdaru maddihi alifun. Ma'alam says, the extent of this madda is an alif. Wa huwa harakatani. That is two haraka. When you say ha alifun in issues of madda with respect to tajweed, it's referring to haraka. Haraka means two counts. Two counts, not 2 seconds. What you can call two counts is just simply if you can tap your maybe make a clap like twice, that is what is referred to as two counts. So you elongate a word such that you can have two counts in the word. That is what that is the limit for this particular kind of madda. So Malan says harakatan waslan, whether you are going to continue reciting or waqfan or you are going to stop. وَنَقْصُهُ عَنْ أَلِفٍ حَرَامٌ شَرْعًا. He said, and for you to reduce it from these two counts, حَرَامٌ is haram in terms of sharia. مِثَالُ الْأَلِفِ, for example, for a word that has this مَدُّ الطَّبِيعِ. The مَدُّ الطَّبِيعِ, remember there are three alphabets. There is what? Alif, as-sakin. There is wawu as-sakin, and there is yawu as-sakin. So the example for the alif, Ma'alan is giving us example. He said, qala. You see that qafun, it's followed with an alifun, and the alifun there is maskunun. So because of the fact that the qaf has a fatha, the alifun maskunun, will make it a madda, which is madda tabi'i. So you say qala, qala, two counts. You don't want to say qala where you elongate it beyond its count, and you don't want to say qala where you are trying to say like you did not even bring the madda at all. If you say qala or you say qala, so you have or qala, you have actually done a wrong thing. So you call it qala, 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 qala. Now, wa mithalul wawi, and an example for the one that has a wawun, we have yaqulu, yaqulu. The qafun there also is carrying a dhamma, so the wawun that follows it is carrying a sukun. Therefore, it is maddu tabi'i. It is a natural madda. It is formed naturally. Yaqulu, 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 yaqulu. Now, wa mithalul ya'im, and then there is an example also for the maddu tabi'i for ya'un, which is qila, qila, wa qila, qila. So that is it. You pronounce it for just two counts. So to the next one, Malan says, ma huwa al-maddu al-far'i wa ila kam qismin yanqasim. He said, what is the derived madda and into how many are they divided? Malam is giving us the answer. So that is it for the maddu tabi'i according to this book. Although the maddu tabi'i, if you going into other sources, you find that there are more than just this one that Malam has categorized under here. But we are going to stay with the book, inshallah. The most important thing is understanding them and also applying them as you need to. That is more important than the categorizations. So, now the next issue. Now, Malan says, ma huwa al-maddu far'i. So that is it for the first kind of mad, as we said. We're now going into the secondary kind of mad. Wa ila kam qismin yanqasim. Malan says, what is it? What is this derived madda? What is this secondary madda? And into how many are they divided? The answer is huwa al-maddu zaidu ala al-maddi al-asli. He said it is an extra madda that is added upon the basics of an original madda bi sababin min hamzin, because of the existence of hamza aw sukun or sukun. So the derived madda is based on hamza and sukun. The derived madda is based on hamza and sukun. You will find that most of them are going around hamza and sukun. Now, so Malan says wahua yanqasimu ila 13 qisman, and they are divided into 13. Al awwalu, the first of them is what? Al maddul wajib al muttasil. That is the first one. Then secondly, you have al maddul jaiz al munfasil. Then thirdly, you have al-maddul aridu lis-sukuni. Then fourthly, you have al-maddul badal. Fifthly, you have al-maddul iwad. Sixth, al-maddul lazim al-muthaqqil al-kalimi. Seventh, al-maddul lazim al-mukhaffaf al-kalimi. Eighth, al-maddul lazim al-muthaqqil, muthaqqil al-harfi. Ninth, al-maddul lazim المخفف الحرفي. 10th المد اللين. And the 11th is المد الصلة. The 12th one is المد الفرق. Then the 13th one is المد التمكين. وسيأتي بيان ذلك مفصلا على هذه على هذا الترتيب. Malan says a detailed explanation on this 13 madda will be presented based on based on the arrangement that has already been given. The arrangement starting from the maddu al-wajib, then up till the last one. So the way it was arranged, Malam said, is going to give us an explanation of that, inshallah. So for the first one now, Malam is asking us, ma huwa al-maddu al-wajib al-muttasil? What is maddu al-wajib al-muttasil? Maddu al-wajib al-muttasil. Malam is asking us, what is it? This madda is the kind of madda, you call it maddu al-lazim because it is a kind of matter you cannot do without. It is obligatory. Muttasil, meaning that there is a connection somewhere. Where is the connection? We'll find out soon. So maddul lazimu al muttasil al wajibu. Maddul wajib al muttasil. Yani it's an obligatory madda that has a connection. Wama qadaru maddihi. So what is the extent of it of the elongation? Huwa, madam is giving us the answer now. He says huwa an yakuna al maddu wal hamzatu fi kalimatin wahidatin. It is for the madda and the hamza to exist in the same word. Wa qadru maddihi, and the extent of this madda khamsu harakatin is 5 counts. That is the 5 counts. So that is the extent of this madda. Wa mithalu dhalik, and examples of that is jaa. You see, the word jaa, simply because of the fact that jimun alifun is what is normally supposed to be a maddu tabi'i. However, because it is followed by a hamza, it's now a derived madda. Okay, it's now a derived madda, and you are going to give it what? You are going to give it 5 counts. You say jaa, jaa, 5 counts. Jaa, jaa. Now, then there is wasu. That is the second example. In this case, now you see that sinun dhamma then wawun sakin. It is supposed to be a maddu tabi'i. However, because of the fact that it is followed by a hamza, which is in the same word, it becomes a maddu wajib al mufassil. So the reason why it is actually al mufassil, what we say it's connected, is simply because of the fact that the hamza is in the same word with the madda. It is in the same word with the madda, which is what differentiates it from the second madda. Now the second madda that we're going to be going on to is going to have the hamza in a separate word other than in this case like we have mentioned. So well, let's continue with the examples. We have wasu'a, su'a, yawa. Then sha'a, sha'a, si'a, si'a, wama ashbah dhalik, and other things that look like this. If you are reading through the Holy Quran and you see a madda, and in the same word there is a hamza, then you should definitely know that you must apply this madda. Because it's a compulsory mad, you must apply the madda. You elongate it for 5 counts. Now there is something I want to draw attention to. When Allah Azza wa Jalla begins, for instance, with ya, for instance, like ya ayyuha, you might notice that ya ayyuha, oh you, that is for Allah. You know, when he wants to call the attention of some certain group of people, Allah begins by saying either ya or ha, like ha antum. That ha that is followed by another hamza. So let's not mistake it. The ha is a word on its own. Antum, the hamza there is the separate word. So it does not fall under this category. Rather, it falls under the next category that we are going to be discussing, inshallah. The same thing with ya. So ya and ha, they are not falling under the maddul wajib, okay? They are falling under maddul jaiz. Now, so let's move to the next one. Malan says, ma huwa al maddul jaizul munfasil. Malan says, what is maddul jaizul? Yani the optional mad, al munfasil, which is separated. Wa ma qadru maddihi, and what is the extent, what is the level of elongation that you are going to give it? Malan says, huwa ma kana haruful maddi fi kalimatin. Balan say it is that in which the alphabet that carries the matter is in a word, wal hamzatu, and then the hamza fi kalimatin ukhra is in the next word, following it but in the next word. Wa qadru maddihi, and the extent of this matter fi halatil hadri, in first recitation, harakatan, you give it two haraka if you are reciting fast. Wa fi halatil tadwir, but in the case of somebody who is reciting moderately, yani you are reciting not too fast and not too slow, arba'u harakatin, you give it four haraka, yani four counts. Wa fi halat tartili, and in the case of the person who is reciting in tartil, or you want to call it tahqiq, because there is a debate over this word tartil, because Allah Azza wa Jalla says waratilil qur'ana tartila, you should recite Quran with tartil, which is an order. So if you want to call this word tartil, it is what Malam means by this. He said ayy tajweed, yani with tajweed, reciting it with tajweed. It doesn't matter if you are reciting fast, slow, or moderately, as far as you are able to arrange the alphabets properly. Because in Arabic, there is this description they usually give to a person that has well arranged teeth. They call him sagurun murattal, yani the teeth, that somebody that has a very, very well arranged teeth. This is how Rasulullah was also described. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply means by tartil is that you should articulate the alphabets properly. Each and every one of it should be properly pronounced. So if you are reciting fast, then you must try as much as possible to avoid all the kinds of idgham. Because many times when you recite very, very fast, you find yourself bringing up idgums that does not exist. You begin to insert alphabets into the order simply because you are very, very fast. So you have to avoid that. And then also, if you are reciting moderately, then in that situation, you can be able to bring them out properly, and this matter will be given four counts. But if you are reciting slowly, taritilan, aw tahqiqan, then Malan says khamsun harakatin, mithal dhalik, then you give it five haraka, five counts, just like the first example we gave, five counts. Mithal dhalik, and examples of that is ya ayyuhannasu. So you see that ya ayyuhannasu. The reason why I brought up that earlier was because you might see that in the writing, the ya and the hamza is written in the same word. Like for instance, ya Ibrahima. You can see that it will be written in the same word, but you don't have to think that the ya and the Ibrahim is a single word. It's not a single word. Even if they are written conjointly, it's a separate word. Now, so, and then another example Malam is giving us, Qu anfusakum. So you have to give that madda for five counts, that is if you are reciting with yani at-tahqiq. So wama ashbahu dhalika, and other things that looks like this. So anywhere you are reciting the Holy Quran and you see a mad that is being followed with a hamza, okay, within yani different words, between different words, the hamza is in a separate word, however the madda is in the last word just before the hamza, then you have to apply this, and you should understand that it is maddul jaiz. Now, so next, now Malam is giving us another question. It says, ma huwa al-maddul aridu, maddul aridu li sukuni wa ma qadru maddihi. Malam says, what is that madda that is called maddul aridu li sukun? Maddul aridu li sukun is simply a madda that is exposed as a result of sukun, or exposed to sukun. Yani it is a madda that comes about due to sukun. وَمَا قَدْرُ مَدِّهِ, and what is the extent of the madda? So the answer here, Malan says, هُوَ الْوَقْفُ عَلَىٰ آخِرِ كَلِمَةٍ. It is for someone to stop or to pause upon the last alphabet or the last of a sentence. Okay, وَكَانَ قَبْلَ الْحَرْفِ الْمَوْقُوفُ عَلَيْهِ أَحَدٌ حُرُوفِ الْمَدِّ. and then the alphabet that you are pausing upon, just before that alphabet, there is one of the alphabets of mad. What kind of mad? Mad tabi'i, which is what? Wawun maskunun, ya'un maskunun, wa alifun maskunun. So if any of these alphabets happen to exist or to be found just before the alphabet upon which you are pausing, okay, then you can apply this rule, which is the maddu al-aridu li-sukun. Allati hiya al-alifu wal-wawu wal-ya'u, like we have already mentioned. So an example of that is if you are reciting the Holy Quran and you are going to pause on the word iqabe. You are pausing on the word iqabe. So you are pausing on the ba'un. So you give the ba'un a sakin, a sukun. Any word or any alphabet that you are pausing upon while reciting the Arabic, you should try and give that alphabet a sukun. In the Quran, you give the alphabet a sukun. Like we have mentioned here, iqabe. If you check, it should be maybe iqabi. Okay, so but because of the fact that it's a sukun, you have to apply the qalqala rule, which we have earlier discussed. So you say iqabe. Now, where is the aridu sukun? The aridu sukun, aridu li sukun, comes up where there is qafun alifun. You say qa, then ba'un. So now, that kind of madda, normally, if you are going to read through, is maddu tabi'i. But if you are going to pause upon it, it is aridu li sukun. Why? Because you can give it any kind of haraka, as Malam will explain going on. Then there is Khalidun, Khalidun. You have preferences to choose from how many harakat that you're going to give it. Then there is Khabir. If you are pausing on the word Khabir, or so and so on and so forth, there are endless this kind of examples. Malam says, Wa yajuzu fi maddihi thalathati awjuhin. So, in this kind of madda, three things are possible, three ways are possible to recite it. At-tulu, the first is to elongate it, wa huwa sittu harakatin, to six counts. You can elongate it as much as six counts. Count 1 2 3 4 5 6, that's count 1 2 3 4 5 6, 1 2 3 4 5 6, that is the count, not 1 2 1 2 3 4 5 6, depending on how fast you're reciting. So you have to elongate it for what? Elongate it for six counts, that is the long one. Then Malan says, Watawasutu, which is the moderate, Wahua Arubaru. You can also give it four counts moderately, Harakatin. Then Wal Osru, then the short one, Wahua Harakatani, Harakatani, which is just two counts, just as if you are going to be reciting it normally. Wal Afubalu Fihi Sitatu. Malan says the best amongst these is six, Wahua Tam, and it is the most complete. Yani, it doesn't go beyond that. So if you are going to pause upon some of this alphabet, that's why sometimes you can, maybe if you listen to your favorite reciters, sometimes they might decide to recite, let's say for instance, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. You see that mean? Sometimes you hear somebody say Alameen and it's okay with it. Alameen is okay. Some will say Alameen, it's okay. Some will say Alameen. They are not just trying to show you voice. However, it is something that you can actually practice. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. One thing you have to take note of while doing this aridu sukun, aridu sukun, is that you have to ensure that the madda that you give to it, if you choose to give to it six counts in that particular surah that you are reciting, try and, as much as you can, to give all the rest the same kind of six counts, so that you will not mention one with two counts, then you come and mention another one with six counts. So if you are choosing six counts, mention all with six counts. If you are choosing four counts, you recite all with four counts, and if you want to do the two counts, you can do that for all. So the next question, Namalan says, Lima summiya maddan aridan lisukun. So why is this madda named like this? Why is it named aridan lisukun? Malan says, لأنه عرض عليه السكون. This is because it is the sukun that presented it. في حالة الوقف, in the situation of stopping. وإذا لم يوقف عليه كان مدا طبيعيا. assuming someone was not to post upon it, assuming someone was not to bring that sukun, then it becomes a normal matter. So because of the fact that it was exposed or it was presented by the sukun, that is the reason why it is called arida lisukun. So we'll move inshallah from there. So Malam is asking us for the next one now. He says, ma huwa al-maddul badal? What is maddul badal? This maddul badal is simply a replacement or a replacing or an exchange kind of madda. Malam says, huwa an yajtami'u al-maddu ma'a al-hamzati fi kalimatin. It is for a madda to come and meet a hamza in a single word. Lakin, however, تتقدم الهمزة على المد. The hamza comes first before the مد. مثلي or مثلو, like an example, آدمو. آدمو. That آدمو there is originally supposed to be what? آدمو. آدمو. Then إيماني. Originally supposed to be إيماني. If you read the Mus'haf to the particular surahs, there is also one as well in Surah Al-Ahqaf. Itu, you pronounce it itu. However, it's written itu. You see the hamza followed by another hamza. One carrying a single haraka. The next one is carrying a sukun. But because of this kind of madda, which is called maddul badal, you now pronounce it as itu bi kitab. Then also, Malam is not going to continue from there. It says, Asluhu A'damu. The original what was written is A'damu. And also, for the Imanu case, what is actually written is what? Imanu. The Hamzatain, with two Hamza. So, but you pronounce it with a Madda that has at least two counts, simply because of that fact. So, now let's move to the next. Malam says, Ma huwa al-maddul iwabu. وَمَا قَدْرُ مَدِّهِ. What is مَدُّ الْعِوَبُ? What is مَدُّ الْعِوَبُ? Is a substitute mad. وَمَا قَدْرُ مَدِّهِ. And what is the extent of this mad? Malan says, هُوَ الْوَقْفُ عَلَى التَّنْوِينِ الْمَنْصُوبِ. It is for somebody to pause upon a tanween that has a fatha fi akhir al-kalima, in the end of a word. If you are reciting and then on the end of the word you are going to pause upon, there is a mansub tanween. There is a tanween that ends with a fatha, al fathatain yani. If you have a fathatain at the end of a word upon which you are going to pause, then you introduce a madda, and that madda is referred to as al maddul iwad. Malam Nan says, wa qadru maddihi harakatan, wa qadru maddihi harakatan, and the extent of this madda is two counts. Mithalu dhalik, examples of that is alima. If you are reciting from the Holy Quran, you end at a word that is looking like this, or a word that is having yani a tanween at its ending, you pronounce it like this, alima. There are several examples. If you open to different kind of surah, like if you open to surah to An-Nisa'i, you notice that most of the verses in the surah end with al-maddul iwad. And also you can find more examples for yourselves in several other surahs, like surah to Al-Kahfi, or you can also find more in تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان يعني سورة الفرقان نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. So that kind of mad that comes after يعني the tanween يعني the two tanween that has a fatha يعني, so you are going to introduce that kind of mad there, mad al-iwad. So we will inshallah stop here, but tomorrow we will inshallah try to conclude on the mad. So probably we'll have a longer class tomorrow inshallah. So I hope that we will give our best to this and try to ensure that we practice, because like I will always continue to say, the perfecting the recitation of the Holy Quran and perfecting the tajweed can only be achieved through practice, and practice cannot usually be done in isolation. So if you want to practice with someone who can be able to assist you in correcting, do not forget to always do that, to always connect. Ask your friends, ask from your contacts, anybody who you know have a good recitation and you like to recite like them. So you ask them, let them recite so that you recite afterwards, or you recite, let them correct you so that you can see the actual mistakes you're making, and then they will show you exactly how you will be able to correct that. Wasallallahu wa sallama ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursalin sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad al-mab'uth rahmatan lil alamin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursalin wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.